You've heard of WannaCry, WannaCryptor, WannaCrypt. This is the newest stream of ransomware that is attacking not just business networks, but the entire world. We're seeing a huge infestation of this malware, and it's unprecedented. It's never, as far as I know, nothing quite of this scale has ever happened before. So it's being deemed potentially cyber warfare. It's being called all these kinds of things that, you know, we're not really sure what is this right now. Is it just ransomware by some lucky hacker who decided to make some money and is doing a fair job at that?
Just a bit scary.
I don't know, but we've got some industry professionals here with us tonight in order to talk about that. Mark Skilton is our first interview tonight. He's a professor of practice in the Information Systems and Management Group at Warwick Business School in Coventry, England. And he researches cybersecurity. He's the author of Building Digital Ecosystems. And he's also got a new book that's just about to come out. You can actually go to cat5.tv/Mark, M-A-R-K, and when you go to that link, you're going to be able to see the books and actually order a copy right off of Amazon as well, so check that out. Mark, it is so great to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Robbie. You have to be on the other side of the moon not to see some of the issues that are coming out with this cyber attack, so thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, cheers. And, you know, it is, we can just get right into our conversation tonight because, as you say, you got to be living under a rock to not know what's going on, and essentially, you know, this is worldwide news. We're speaking with you from Ontario, Canada, and you're in England, and this is a real global event. Can you give us a little bit of a backstory on what you've seen as a cybersecurity researcher is really happening in kind of the whole ecosystem of the internet today?
Yeah, that's a good question to ask me because that's the sort of thing I tend to look at. You know, you need to put this in perspective. You know, one way to look at it is, well, this is just Microsoft machines that are being affected. So if I'm on iOS from Apple or I'm using an open source system, then this doesn't really matter. It's not that of an issue, but then you hear about 11 million users or PCs being affected, and you get lots of different numbers. The way I position this is I tend to call this is the third wave, if you will, of cyber attacks. I mean, the first wave I describe in the genesis of what I call enterprise-scale cyber attacks is really denial of service, DDoS, as it's phrased.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, that's basically stopping access to your system. Secondly, we've got data breaches, much like the famous Sony attack, which with that arguably not particularly terribly good film, but clearly was an issue about stealing data and the issue of taking money off you. This is really the third way, just to get to the point, which is around ransomware, where it's actually holding you psychologically to ransom for money or to inflict emotional damage on you. But equally, you're seeing this now having attacked hospitals in the UK,
right?
You know, in Canada, in Russia, has been hit very, very heavily. It's over about 110 countries. And really, this is a smorgasbord, a panacea of the ecosystem that we're now living in with the 24/7, always connected, all these devices. But now, the legacy of all these sort of operating systems and whether there's a gap, you know, an air gap, and there's clearly been an exploit here that's been opened up by we believe, criminals, although there has been some new news on that we can talk about as to who's caused this. But it just shows the scale of the way we're connected today, doesn't it? And the nature of the threat now is about ransomware, unfortunately.
And do we suspect that this is a targeted attack, or is this, you know, it's so widespread, it seems like this is just, like, how has this thing spread so quickly to so many systems? What are we looking at from that perspective?
Well, academically, we talk about narrative engineering, which is a rather poncy, sort of flashy word for what does that mean? But you see this with fake news, and you hear this in terms of information being put out there into the internet to create an impact. Now, I think what this is, to call it targeted is difficult to say that because effectively it is a exploit on a weakness in the Windows XP system that we read, which is an old version of Microsoft operating system.
But that
so anybody
was,
who hasn't...
Windows XP was canceled, so, you know, how is this still a problem today? Like, there is nobody runs Windows XP anymore, right?
Well, obviously not. It's the two things. You know, the poor National Health Service in the UK clearly got got one here, and that they hadn't, they've been repeatedly warned not, you know, to upgrade their systems, because the patch, Microsoft put a patch out in March this year to fix this, and they told, look, you've got to upgrade your systems. But equally, you can talk about how we put it, unlicensed software, which may be in Russia and elsewhere, people using potentially, I don't want to say this, illegal versions. So these aren't protected by patches. So this is what's happening. It's a complex issue.
I hear you. Okay. So what makes, and now we're all kind of at this point in like our viewers and pretty much the world at large, we've all heard of ransomware. So we know that it's an attack. It encrypts your files. It wants you to send Bitcoin to basically pay the hackers in order to get your files back. What makes this new attack, this wave of the WannaCry or WannaCrypt ransomware, what makes that so significantly different, and why is this now a global event when there have been ransomwares in the past that have gone around?
Well, obviously, you know, one of the things that's different this time is that another criminal group stole some software, which is called Blue Eternal. There's also some other software which has other unusual names. Now, this software was from the NSA, which is reported by the Israeli cybersecurity agency, I think a couple of days ago.
This is a fact, yeah?
Yeah, we believe so. So what we're finding is a combination of two things. You've got a worm, which is a thing that sort of weaves its way through into your XP vulnerability. But equally, there's been a backdoor method provided by a military-grade cyber weapon, which was stolen from the NSA. And what's happening is the combination is so lethal. This is why it's managed to get through firewalls, managed to break through into all these PCs. Yeah. And so the question is, even if you had the patch, you would have been protected. But these computers, because of this additional piece of stolen military-grade cybersecurity weaponry, it's managed to do so much damage all over the world.
It's such a different world that we live in, isn't it, from, you know, 20 years ago. This was all speculated. You know, this is something that was futuresque, cyber warfare and things like that. Mm. And I wouldn't mind touching on that without getting too far into, you know, it's so easy to fall into conspiracy theories and theoretical, you know, like we could just banter here and come up with all sorts of ideas of what might be going on. But just backing up a little bit, we keep going back to this exploit is from Windows XP. Is it something that's also affecting other users?
Well, indirectly, because obviously there's a denial of service here, and also you lose patients' medical records. Well, not lose the records, you lose medical care time. You can't go to banks. You can't go and buy stuff. Okay. It's the disruption this creates, you know, Robbie. That's part of the impact of what they're trying to do. But it's a financial gain. They've kind of sort of done a firestore, a bit like the famous, Die Hard 4.0 movie, if you know the one. It's no joke in that this kind of technology, when it can get through, break through the barriers of devices and Internet of Things now with all these things connected, the damage it can do is really... what I particularly like, if I can just sort of raise a point, is the Microsoft legal counsel, the head of legal in Microsoft, wrote a blog a couple of days ago, which I thought was very interesting. He advocated that we should introduce a thing called the Digital Geneva Convention. And I think that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because I think what's happening is, because if they're NSA and others, and not just the NSA, you know, you look at the UK government and others, are all sort of stockpiling these side of weapons to protect themselves, but also to be able to do surveillance and do national security activities. There's an issue about, you know, if you stockpile nuclear weapons, you stockpile cybersecurity weapons, they need to have the same level of due diligence. You don't want to leave the door open, and you don't want one going missing. You know, this is not a good thing. So I think it's a good call by Microsoft. What I have an issue with, I don't know what your thoughts are, is that should it be just Microsoft saying they are the first responder? You know, they're a bit like the judge and the jury. Well, it's their system in the first place that got hacked. Now they're saying we're going to fix you, but why was it hacked in the first place? You know.
It's not an automobile where, you know, we got to recall this car because it's our problem, right? Like this is much wider scale than that. And you know, this does bring us to the, you know, and it's such a dangerous thing for us to get into this conversation, because like I said, we can so easily slip through to conspiracy theories and things like that, but it really does, we do get the sense that we're looking at a cyber warfare kind of issue here. So the underlying technology being that it comes from these government bodies, and now has that been stolen through data theft and used by cyber criminals, or what are we looking at?
Well, we're looking at that, isn't it? You look at the whole Edward Snowden affair and sure. WikiLeaks and the self-appointed, and it depends which particular side of the political divide and persuasion you have, of course. But, you know, you have these the potential of digital, much like you and I are talking on this connection right now. It's a very powerful medium. You know, you're in different parts of the world, but we can connect in instant time. And I think the reality that we have to understand, and this is not new, is that the ability to work at the speed of light with these technologies, which is not the physical, it doesn't have the physical constraints that the physical world has, is that you've got situations where people can steal information about you, your identity. They can basically do an enormous amount of harm within hours or minutes or seconds even. And this sure. is really the issue, you know, with artificial intelligence and being able to automate this. As I said, this is the third wave, Robbie, in terms of the ransomware is a intelligent cyber weapon. It's not a dumb, brutal sort of brick through the window kind right. of thing. This is intelligent. It picks you out. And, you know, where this may go is a good debate.
It presents itself as something like this. This could be some really smart kids making money off of their hack. It presents itself that way. It reads itself that way. It pops up on your screen and says, your files are encrypted. In order to get those back, send money too. So why would, this is, you know, to put a theory out there, why would a government use some tactic like that in order to infiltrate computer systems? And essentially, like, looking at the hospitals and looking at government and possibly charitable organizations who never had the budget to upgrade from Windows XP, for example. So why would these be targets of this widespread attack?
Well, it's always the vulnerable that get attacked. I think the 2 points quickly on this is it's unfortunate the people with the least money or cash constraints, or, you know, ironically, the people who may be using illegal versions of this software that get caught out with this. But equally, in terms of going back to the narrative, in that some of these things is about creating obfuscate, you know, creating a fog, a kind of noise in the market that might be to undermine an election, or it might be to undermine certain credibilities, or in most cases with criminal intent, is to steal money or to get intellectual property. You know, not pointing fingers towards the Asia, for example, or equally it goes both ways, to be even-handed about this. It is now, really, we talk about the police. We talk about, this is the fourth theatre of war. We talk about land, sea and air as the three battlefields, if you will, of war. Mm-hmm. It is now the fourth area of war, right. is now the digital world. And I think we have to realise this reality. There's the thing about Microsoft legal counsel saying we need a digital Geneva Convention, because this thing is rapidly getting out of scale, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, and it is it's a changing world right now, in that, you know, we are no longer dealing with, you know, your antivirus, because we've got viruses that might get into your boot sector. Like, that's no longer the big concern. You know, I sell antivirus, and you need the firewall. You absolutely need the firewall. Don't opt out of that. Don't turn it off.
Yeah. I was. I mean, I was talking to another cybersecurity expert friend who's very deep technical expert in this area. And he says one of the critical things to have the wake-up call with the WannaCry issue, which I thought was very interesting, and I put it on my Huffington Post blog, was this issue around this type of cyber attack is very sophisticated, that you and I are not technically able to actually fix it. So we just, it's a bit like locking the front door with your antivirus, as you say, Robbie. But that's not sufficient, because they got, this is a worm, and then it was using military grade sort of backdoor methods in addition to that. So right. like, hang on a minute, you know, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight sort of thing. But it's not, it may be laughing at it, but
my toy lightsaber didn't work.
Yeah. It didn't work. And but I think the issue is that it's a multi-level response that's needed, point one. And point two is we now need governments, not just Microsoft, but we need experts to deal with this kind of threat, because it's now, as I said, gone to the third level, which is machine learning. It's artificially intelligent. And just the normal patches and fixes isn't going to be enough going forward. And that's, I think that's the big wake-up call.
Oh, you're scaring me to death here, buddy. Like, well, just the thoughts of the evolution.
I wish I could tell you better.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are there folks, you know, we know about Microsoft's proposals and what's going on there, but what is what's in place right now to protect the world at large?
Well, there are two things probably. One is that governments have got their big agencies. So in the UK, for example, they've got the National Cyber Security Agency, which is specialising on monitoring this threat. And it's an adjunct to the GCHQ, the National Surveillance Agency in the UK. The similar operations are in the United States, of course, and Canada and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So we have at the government level now taking far more serious attention and investment in that area. But I think the gap that's missing at the moment is really, to put it bluntly, we found our pants or knickers were basically between our drawers here with Microsoft. They're not updating their software probably, and they put commercials around it. So Windows XP is now a old version, so we don't support it. But that's not really acceptable as a consumer. I've lost my data. I've been attacked. So I think we need to have vendors particularly having more accountability and responsibility, both sides of the pond, in wherever they come from. So when you're selling a product, this stuff, you've got to look after it. And
it's
so we need them to do more.
Like, where does it end? Where does it end for a software developer? Because you look at a car and you buy a car, and how long is your warranty for that car? Like, at a certain point, it becomes your responsibility. And when we and cybersecurity researchers like yourself have been saying to folks for years now, upgrade. Get off of Windows XP. Do not continue running that system. You've got that computer that you barely ever use that still has XP on it. Never turn it on. Scrap it. Get rid of it. It's not really fair to put it on Microsoft, I don't think, as much as, we're Linux people here. But it's such a tough thing. There has to be something bigger than that.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a really good point you're making here, because I think the nature of what you're describing with a car, the analogy of a car, is it's a physical thing. You can touch it. You can say, I'm going to put in a new engine, or I'm going to basically scrap it.
Yeah, and it's a thing that depreciates. Software can keep running forever, indefinitely.
Exactly, and that's the problem. So I just read that apparently yesterday the dear old MPEG-3 format is apparently now defunct. Yeah. It's no longer supported. But that doesn't mean to say it's gone away.
Sure.
It's still potentially, and it's not analogous in this area. But the point I'm making is that the digital world exploits both modern systems as well as old systems. And I think, again, there needs to be some accountability. I've been saying in the media the last few days that maybe we need a cybersecurity police force, a bit like the first responders. Now, who do you call? Not Ghostbusters, no joke. you need to basically take this up with somebody. And I don't think there's a clear way forward yet. And I think this is a big wake-up call for everybody.
Yeah, and we'll see a lot of changes, I think, over the course of the next little while as well. Mark, we really appreciate your time and for sharing with us. Do we have any inkling as to what's next with WannaCry? Has it kind of tapered off through the efforts of security researchers and companies?
No, I wish I could tell you better. No, this has just accelerated, obviously, the patches for this particular attack, but this is going to be more the norm going forward, where we have more insidious and psychological attacks on our identity and liberty and rights. And I think really this is just a matter of escalation. I think the concern particularly is around weapons, or cyber weapons by governments now need to be under much more secure environments, because if this stuff gets out, I can give you a quick analogy with, say, in advanced biological weapons, just to pick a very serious example. You don't expect those Category 4 or Category 5 labs to basically be open-door institutes. And so I think the problem with digital, of course, is that they're much more vulnerable. So we need to be very careful about this going forward.
Sure, and I think it's quite possible that, companies and hospitals and industries need to take this more seriously, to take protection more seriously. It's amazing how, like, DLP solutions and endpoint firewalls that prevent data theft and things like that, they've existed for so many years, and they've evolved to the point where they're very, very good, and yet so few have them in place.
Yeah, I mean, people just don't follow procedures, point one. I mean, this is the old adage, how many times do you need to get hacked to basically change your behavior? This is a wake-up call. But I think what's more concerning is if we're getting military-grade cybersecurity weapons out in the open market rather than the dark web, this is not a great development. And I think that's going to be something that for the authorities on both sides of the all over the place are going to be exploiting. So, this is not going to be the last story, I suspect, unfortunately.
For sure, for sure. And I do believe that this is, kind of the start of change for a lot of the industry, because people, as you say, it's a wake-up call. People are realizing, we've kept these machines running and we've thought that it was okay and we've ignored the warnings of our IT people. And, now it's time to really step things up. So we'll sort of see the evolution over the next little while.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've got connected cars, you've got banking, online banking, you've got medical devices, maybe even wearables on your body and stuff. Not only your identity and your very life could depend on these systems working properly in the new economy. So this is, I think, a level of security and surveillance, but also prevention. I think the prevention has been proven in this case. It's not ready yet, and this is going through cycles. They've now got this first warning that this is where ransomware can go. It's amazing. We've got over 110 countries got attacked in this.
Yeah.
That's not just one or two. I mean, it's like everybody's going down on this one. And I think what I've said earlier was we do need a much more investment, even in America or Japan or in the modern economies, need to be sharing information, need to be responding as almost like the fourth emergency service across the globe as well as within their own countries, because this is a state of war. I'm not being exaggerating this to be alarmist for the viewers, that we need to be treating this incredibly seriously, way more than the level that we're doing at the moment. We've got to be very sure and strong in our response, because we're sure as hell the criminals are going to be doing the same.
Yeah, and it's a big wake-up call for a lot of folks, including myself, where it's kind of becoming that way, where we need to be ready for what's to come, and that's the fact. That's unfortunately the fact of this world that we're living in right now. So we've been speaking with Mark Skelton. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Mark has a website if you want to check him out, learn more about his research, check out his books as well. It's markskelton.com. I've got that linked below. And Mark, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Robbie. Thank you very much indeed for having me.
All the best. Take care.